piping porridge. Here's to the biscuit tot. Here's to the java flowing like lava out of the coffee pot. Here's to the eggs and bacon. Here's to the waffles unique. And here's three rousing cheers for the best meal of the week. For it's Sunday morning, breakfast time, the time all men adore.
Hi, I'm John Jackson.
And I'm Greg Patent.
And we're the Food Guys. There's a lot of things that go on in your mouth. You notice that? I've noticed it.
Well, we talk and we chew. We're the Food Guys, right?
Yeah, we are the
So we have to talk about what does the mouth have to do with food? Well, just about everything, right?
Now, here is a very interesting article that you showed me from Mary Roach. She went off to Wageningen in the Netherlands.
Yes, and we do not take responsibility for the correct pronunciation of Dutch, so please forgive us.
She went to a place called Food Valley, which she says was described to her as the Silicon Valley of eating.
Yes.
I mean, this is where they're really doing research into eating. It's curious how many things are going on.
The thing is that there's this cluster of universities and research facilities in Wageningen. There are nearly 15,000 scientists who are dedicated to improving the quality of our meals. And so here she was in the place called the Restaurant of the Future, which is a cafeteria where hidden cameras record diners as they make decisions about what to eat. There's a bowl of rubbery white cubes the size of salad croutons there. Andries Vanderbilt has brought them from his lab in the Department of Head and Neck.
Head and Neck.
I love that. It's very direct. She wants to know what to do with these cubes, and he says, you chew them. The cubes are made of something called comfort putty.
That made me pause.
He's not a dentist, because comfort putty is used to take impressions of teeth. Vanderbilt is an oral physiologist. He says that these cubes measure, in quotation marks, masticatory performance, which means basically how effectively a person chews. She says, I take a cube from the bowl. If you ever, as a child, chewed on a whimsical pencil eraser in the shape of, say, an animal or a piece of fruit, then you have tasted this dish.
As children, we chew on all kinds of things. Some of our favorite kinds of things to chew on. But they're getting information from this. What actually happens when you chew?
What they found is the way one chews is as unique and consistent as the way one walks or folds one's shirts, if you happen to fold your shirts. There are fast chewers. There are slow chewers. They're long and short chewers.
Mm-hmm.
They're right-chewing people and left-chewing people.
I had no idea.
Some of us chew straight up and down, and others chew side to side, like cows. It's like a physiological fingerprint.
Yeah, and as soon as I saw that, I thought, if I'm writing another mystery novel, I'm going to have a guy who identifies the criminal by the way he chewed on something. You know, that would be the clue.
They're studying the neuromuscular elements of chewing. What's also fascinating, the masseter muscles, the jaw muscles, are among the most powerful muscles in the body. And when we bite down on something, it's with a tremendous amount of pressure. But even more important is that we have a braking mechanism so that once we bite into food, then there's a braking mechanism that we don't keep chewing down so we grind away our teeth.
Yeah, it's really fascinating, as a matter of fact, that the amount of pressure that it takes to, say, crush a peanut is one thing,
mm-hmm.
but you have to stop the minute that peanut is broken. Its integrity is destroyed. Otherwise, you're going to smash into your teeth with the other teeth.
Exactly, and you'll destroy
all
your
teeth. Would just burst out because those are really strong muscles. It's the second strongest muscle in your body, turns out. The teeth themselves must be quite sensitive.
She points out that human teeth can detect a grain of sand or grit 10 microns in diameter. 1 micron is 25,000th of an inch, so it's very tiny.
She said if you shrank a Coke can until it was the diameter of a human hair, the letter O in the product name would be about 10 microns.
10 microns.
I had no idea that teeth were anything like that sensitive.
And they're also looking at shapes of foods. What's interesting is that round foods are treacherous because they match the shape of the trachea. And if a grape goes down the wrong way, it blocks the tube so completely that no breath can go around it. So you can choke. So round foods are treacherous. You have to watch out for those.
I'm glad all these people are busy doing this, helping to figure out what it is that we actually do. Uh-huh. Somebody should be doing this, and what you should do is come back next week for
The Food Guys. Da 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 da